It's time to link up for Isthmus and That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
And we're joined by Desley this morning. How are you, Desley?
I'm really well, thanks, Millie. Great. I mean, gorgeous, nippy, cold, clear mornings. Bring on this kind of weather, I reckon.
It is crisp out there, isn't it?
Rain. Yes, gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So we wanted to chat to you about AT raising their speed limits. There's a bit of confusion out there in the community about some of AT's signage. I mean, what part does the council have in this?
Okay, well, first of all, remember the decision around why we have to put the signs up has been made by central government, all right?
Right.
So it was really around the speeds around schools. And the government made that call that you didn't need to slow down around schools, for example, in the middle of the night. You know, it really, the busy time was drop off and pick up. Now, we're not going to relitigate that. That decision has been made.
Mm-hmm.
The key now is how to make the signage to make those who move past schools and vehicles, etc., aware of when they do have to slow down.
Mm.
So the legislation that the government put in said that the lowering of the speed to 30 k's in the urban areas and around 60 kilometres, I think, if they are, you know, in a 100 k busier area,
mm-hmm.
Is no more than 35 minutes before the start of school and no more than 35 minutes at the end of school. Now, the trouble is, not all schools start and finish at the same time.
No.
All right? So the key for Auckland Transport was to try and fit a sign that says slow down now in the time frame and fit it in and put it outside the school. And of course, there's a cost around that as well. So look, they've come up with a sign, and yes, I am aware that there have been some complaints. And I suppose the key message here is if you think it's the signage isn't right for where you're going, please contact Auckland Transport and I can give you a number in a minute. But I suppose the bigger issue is, you know, when in doubt, slow down, you know, because schools do have slightly different drop off and pick up times. And we all know that is at around anywhere between 8 and 9.30 in the morning-ish, you know, and potentially between 3 and 4, 4 something in the afternoon, or sometimes a bit earlier if it's an independent or private school. So just be aware, pick up and drop off times, slow down. But if you think the signage is difficult or whatever, contact Auckland Transport. And this is the number to use, Millie, 09-355-3553.
Right. I guess the main concern from a lot of people, though, is that there shouldn't really be any lack of clarity or anything around schools, around speeds. Why aren't we looking at things like electronic signs to make this a little bit more clear?
Look, Auckland Transport are looking at electronic signs, but the difference in that is cost. I mean, electronic signs cost about $12,000 each, and you need at least two per school because, beginning and end. And then also can be, I mean, on a beautiful day like this, you say, what's the problem? But many of those electronic signs are solar driven. And so there is potentially for, you know, very day that we have months of grey skies and not enough sun, they may not work. So I suppose two issues around electronic signs, cost and the fact that they are solar powered, which limits their usefulness.
Right, and I guess it's a change that's been brought about by the government. So, I mean, it's not really the council's fault. The clarity on the signage, however, is, you know, potentially AT's issue. But you've given us a number, so hopefully people can get in touch if a school near them is looking a bit shady in terms of when is the speed
limit
there.
How to read the signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do urge everybody out there to talk to Auckland Transport about that, because as a councillor, I'm sure my colleagues are as well, we'll be monitoring how this is indeed implemented and we urge anyone or any school who sees, there's even been incorrect information on the signs. I think one of my colleagues found a sign that went up telling people to slow down when a school didn't close, you know, so there has been some inaccuracy. We're aware of that.
Yeah, it seems like an interesting area to have to spend so much money as well, especially going into local elections. And we're just looking at this pre-election report published by the council regarding some of the key issues for incoming elected members. Do you want to talk to us to what the priorities of that report state?
Yeah, look, this is a really good thing, I think. First of all, it's determined we have to do it by law. It's required under the Local Government Act. But I tell you why I think it's a good idea. You know, I encourage everybody who has an interest in Auckland and thinks they can make a difference to put their hand up and stand in some way for local government, for Auckland Council. But to do that, you really have to understand what we do, what our big issues are, and really understand the intrinsicities of our organisation. So what our staff have done, through our chief executives, and that they put this report together, and it really, it's a non-political document. It's just a factual document that gives any candidate, in fact, all of Auckland, a bit of an opportunity to understand what are the issues that Auckland Council has to deal with, and if you were an elected member, you know, what would you say or do or think about that? So, let's look first of all about Auckland as in its entirety. You know, it's huge. I mean, I think 70% of Auckland is rural for a start. You know, we've got issues around accommodation. We're going to have, I think, like half a billion more people coming to live in Auckland in the next 30 years. So how are we going to, where are we going to put them? How the housing's going to do work? Transport options, all that kind of stuff. And the report sort of sets some context around how we need to align transport and water infrastructure and housing together. So that's a big issue. The second issue around that is how to keep our water clean and plentiful and also ensure that we protect productive soil for food, but also have space for recreation and nature, balancing that against the fact that we need to build more houses, right? And then we need, it talks about the need for getting planning rules right, better funding and financing tools for the government. I mean, a key issue of being a councillor, for example, a lot of what we do is influenced by central government. So to have a relationship with them and how to understand how Auckland and central government work, protecting our assets, you know, we've got $70 billion worth of assets, transport, water, community assets. Are they in the right place? Do we need to keep all the stuff that we've got? Should we potentially have it in a better place? Looking after our libraries, pools, climate change, they're all the big issues. And I think it's a great document. I'm actually really impressed with it. And I think that anyone who's a potential candidate should have a read and have a really good understanding of Auckland and its challenges before they commit to putting their hand up.
Yeah, we are seeing a real lack in people coming forward to stand for local body elections in Tāmaki Makaurau. Why do you think that is?
Oh, I think that's a shame. You know, I love our city, and it really deserves the really best of the best to put their hand up to represent it, you know? And often, everything you do almost has an Auckland Council influence. You know, you get up in the morning, you turn the tap on, that's water care. You walk out of your house down the footpath, that's Auckland Transport. Maybe catch a bus or take a bike or get in your car, it's Auckland Transport. You know, you travel, it's congestion, and you get to where you're going, and you might want to recreate with your family and play on the beaches and be in, you know, play sport and have places to recreate, walk your dog, all those things. There are elected members that influence how all that works, and especially at local board level. You know, people don't really understand, I don't think, how important local boards are. You know, they do look after local parks, the maintenance, you know. It's just, I think it's the best job in the world. I love doing what I do. And I just would encourage, you know, people to put their hand up and be part of a solution. If you're a solution, it's not good complaining. If you've got ideas to how to fix things or how to make Auckland better, the vehicle is to put your hand up and stand as an elected member.
And I think when you're facing such a large population growth, it's vital that we have, you know, feet on the ground that really do want to make a difference and make it work for our city.
Indeed, and the diversity of our city. You know, our city is incredibly diverse.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the largest Māori population in New Zealand, of course, but also, you know, we have one of the biggest Pacifica populations, but we've got a lot of huge amount of ethnic contributors to our city who live here from all sorts of backgrounds. You know, they need a voice too.
Yeah, totally. Just lastly, on a quick parting note, Desley, we just wanted to talk about the safe late night space in central Tamaki that Take 10 has opened up. Do you want to tell us about that?
Look, I think this is wonderful. I really do. You know, old fossils like me that are in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning is fine. But, you know, our young people quite often get into town and party and carry on as young people do in the city. And look, it's a program. Take 10 is a program that's been operating in central Wellington for about 8 years, I think. In fact, the person who started it, I think my daughter knows him quite well, and it's been very successful, and we've decided to have a go at it in Auckland. And basically it's a safe space on a Friday and Saturday night between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. in the morning. So, you know, as I said, some of us are already in bed, but it's that sort of, I won't say danger time, but it's that time that is a bit vulnerable for people in the central city to go where there is a phone charger, you know, a safe space, maybe somewhere that they feel that they know that they will be safe if they lost their friends or something. And there are trained volunteers there to give support. I think it's a really great thing, and it's been coordinated to start during the university O-week semester two. So I think it's a perfect time to start. We'll be monitoring it closely, but I think it's got a lot of legs. It's going to be, it is because it started last Friday. It's in Freiburg Place outside the Allen Melville Centre, so it's kind of in central Auckland, midtown. And I just think that any person just needs to know where it is if they need it. And a lot of parents, I think, should tell their kids where it is. I think it'll be great. It works very successfully in Wellington.
Yeah, it's a real staple in Wellington. I have seen it many times on Courtney Place, the sort of handing out waters and really lovely people. It's definitely a great idea, but, I mean, Auckland is different to Wellington in the way that we're a bit more spread out and bigger. Do you think if this does well at the Allen Melville Centre, we could see stations popping up around Karangahape Road or potentially central suburbs?
Yes, I do. I think, look, this is a pilot for our city as a starter for 10, and I think Take 10 is an organisation that is that does amazing job. And if this is successful and there is a need for it elsewhere, I think there's a really strong reason why we should look at potentially opening more if it's successful where it is now. Definitely.
Great. Groovy. Thank you so much, Desley. Best of luck with the upcoming kind of elections, etc. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
No worries. Okay, keep in touch.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.